Danke, danke, Amu. You're a good boss most of the time, but we'll talk later. Anyway, sleep for you. Hey, hoe gaan het? Lekker. Let's start off with some prayer. That's a good place to start. The Lord knows I need it. Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that you are here today, Father. I'll just pray that above what I've got to say or above whatever, what any church mission is, that you would have your way with us, Father, and that you would say what you've got to say to the people here tonight, Father. I just pray that you would open up their hearts and use me to speak into their lives, Lord Father God. We just praise this. Pray this in your name. Amen. Fantastic. Okay. You guys excited? Okay. So we're going to be getting practical today. I haven't done one of these sessions in a long time, and I felt like we need to do some group discussions, but we'll get there just now. I'm excited for what we're talking about this month. We're talking about prayer, and it comes from the scripture. The harvest is full, but the workers are plentiful. Jesus' response to this was, "So pray." The harvest is full, but the workers are few. So pray. Isn't that cool? That was Jesus' response to the fact that we are living in times where there's a lot of work to be done. Before you go and do anything, go and pray. And that's why we decided, before we start this year, before we do anything this year, we're gonna dedicate this month to prayer. Amen. Good place to start. Okay. If you, when in doubt, start praying. So. It's also kicking off our new vision up there on the board, raising up 1,000 co-workers. Church is not about numbers, but we felt convicted that instead of having this arbitrary, this year we're going to disciple people and we're going to be very spiritual. We felt challenged, okay, let's put a number to it, okay, where we can say, okay, well, we did what we said we're going to do, or we didn't do what we say we're going to do. And that's a bit scary, because when you have arbitrary visions, it's very easy to check them off, even though you might have not have done what you could have done. Amen. So we felt convicted, okay, you know, we want to walk the walk, and we want to put our money where our mouths are. So we're going to put a number to this. We're going to ask God that he blesses us, that we are able to raise 1,000 co-workers. So that means that we're going to quadruple this year. Amen? Amen. So I think altogether we're probably 200 to 250, so we need to get to 1,000. Yes, okay. We've got a lot of work to do. Okay, you guys ready for it though? Yeah. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, so we're gonna have to pray a lot. Amen. Okay, great. So I'm gonna start off. Omu spoke last week about prayer. So Lumi spoke this morning about prayer. I want to talk about an aspect of prayer which involves hearing the voice of God. Okay? Who of you know that you can hear the voice of God? Yeah? Okay? Who of you would like to hear more of the voice of God? Okay? Great. We're honest. We should always want more. We should never settle. Amen? So I want to start off by talking about Jesus and the life of Jesus, but more specifically the circumstances around which he was born. So I would like you to turn with me to Matthew 2. That is the first book of the New Testament. And chapter 2 is the second chapter of that book, right after chapter 1, just before chapter 3. Just in case you're getting a bit confused. Are you guys there? I'm almost there. Technology. It's fantastic. Okay. So when we think about the birth of Jesus, when you think about Christmas, Christmas is awesome. You get presents and it's great. And there's family and there's a lot of food and we eat a lot. And for those of you who are not offended by such things, there's a Christmas tree in your house, and your father usually gets you nice presents, and The family comes together and we care and we have a happy time, right? Christmas, great. Okay, I don't think Jesus was actually born on the 25th of December. I think they think it was more August, October side, somewhere around there. But like my mother says, it's not necessarily his birthday, it's just his party. So we can deal with it. Okay. But now, during the time of Jesus, it was not a happy time. It's funny because we think of Christmas and the birth of Jesus as being a happy time, but it was not a happy time back then, 2,000 odd years ago. Okay, we were having people crucified left, right, and center. Nobody had heard from God in about 400 years. Things were looking pretty grim. The only hope that people were hanging on to was a prophecy that a king would come, and how the modern Israelites interpreted would relinquish the grip of the Roman Empire on Israel as they knew it. So the Roman Empire was quite vicious, and they were really trying to stomp out the last sort of pockets of resistance in Israel. They were crucifying people. It was very common to walk down a road and you'd have people lined up on crucifixes all down the road. It wasn't a happy time, right? And then even when Jesus was born, you know, we kind of romanticize the idea about him being born in a manger and, you know, the Star of Bethlehem. That's not a nice place to have a baby. Okay, I've never had a baby, but I can imagine being in a barnyard full of stinky animals is not a great place to have a baby. Any of the mothers, amen? Yes, great. I'm glad there's some sort of agreement here, okay? So we understand when we look at the birth of Jesus, we see it through the eyes of the cross, knowing that, yes, those circumstances were grim, but everything worked out in the end. You get what I'm saying? Okay? We know how the story ends. We know that it has a good ending, that Jesus died on the cross, and he said, you know, very iconically, those words, "It is now finished. He beat the devil. We can now have access to God's throne room through the Son, Jesus Christ," right? It's a happy ending. Amen? Great. But during those times, just before that, during the birth of Jesus, it was not a lacquer situation to be in, okay? And that is sometimes how we find ourselves, okay? Things are going pretty bad, okay? Things seem hopeless. And the thing about hope is that we only start talking about hope, we start thinking about hope or needing hope in hopeless situations, right? Okay? So if Jesus' death represents a completion and a finishing of work, his birth, in a sense, represents the beginning of hope. Hope in dire circumstances. Okay? So I want to read to you a part about the wise men, because I don't want to focus on necessarily the grim circumstances, but I want to focus more on what does God do in hopeless situations. What is his strategy? And we're going to see that this over here. Okay, you can read from verse 1 in Matthew 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. They said, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet.' And in you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" That was the prophecy that they were hanging on to. "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to the rest of the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, but wait, there's myrrh." Okay. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Okay. So King Herod wasn't a nice guy. In fact, just after this, when the wise men didn't go back to Herod and tell them where Jesus was, King Herod ordered that all firstborn children under 2 years old must be killed. Okay, another grim situation, okay? But what does God do? God sends the three wise men to come and encourage Mary and Joseph. Right? So there's a very grim, dire circumstances. What happens is these three random dudes pitch up and give them stuff. I'm not entirely sure what frankincense and myrrh is, but gold sounds pretty cool. Okay, we all know what that is. But I'm told that frankincense and myrrh was worth a lot. There's some sort of perfumes or thingamajobs. Anyway, so let's read on. Okay. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So and once again, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream, okay? It's all going to make sense just now, but I just want you to get this, is that when things are going bad, God sends people, okay? In hopeless situations, there is an injection of hope, which is usually of an outside source. Why do you think that is? We'll get there, okay? We'll get there. I just want you to think about that. Okay, and then we read about how Herod kills all the children. And then God sends another angel to Joseph and says, okay, Herod's dead, you can go back to Israel. Great. Okay, so now we have circumstances which are really bad, okay? We have a hopeless situation, and then all of a sudden there's somebody who comes and brings a sense of hope, right? I mean, you're in this barnyard full of animals, you're just given birth, you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know what's going to happen to yourself. People think that you have a baby outside of wedlock, and then all of a sudden these three random dudes pitch up, and they worship your baby and give you gifts. Okay? It's weird, if you think about it, okay? Or you're sleeping one day, you have a dream, and God says, okay, you need to pack up everything and go. Otherwise, your kid is going to die. Okay? Weird. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So this is where we are. Sometimes we face circumstances that seem pretty hopeless. And in those hopeless situations, it's a bit hard to see anything positive, okay? And God often sends words or people to encourage you guys, okay? Now, I don't want to talk about necessarily about what you need, but I actually want to put the challenge across to you, okay? This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking about building the kingdom of God. So the challenge for you is, are you going to be that prophetic voice to a nation that needs hope? Okay, I'm going to say that again. Are you going to be that prophetic voice to a nation that needs hope? Are you going to be a prophetic voice to your school friends, your workmates, your next door neighbors, your family in hopeless situations? Are you going to be the injection of hope to a hopeless situation? Okay, that is the challenge. And that is what building the kingdom of God is all about. Okay, sounds easy, right? This is easy, okay? It's pretty simple. So what is our job? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. You can write that down, John 5, verse 19. You can study that by yourself. But he actually says, in the scripture, he says, I can do nothing else but what I see my Father doing. Isn't that incredible? He said, even if I tried to do something else, I couldn't do it. I can't do anything else but what I see my Father doing. And this is sort of the foundation of building God's kingdom. We only do what we see our Father doing, okay? So our job is to build God's kingdom by being the prophetic voice to the nations. Okay, So it sounds easy. So there's a few questions that might pop into your head right about now. So what do we build? When do we build it? With what do we build it? How do we build it? Who do we build? What are the building materials? I don't know. This is easy to say. We need to build the kingdom of God. How do we do it? Are you guys with me? Are you also thinking, okay, I want to build the kingdom of God. Who wants to build the kingdom of God? Okay, who would like to know how to do it? Okay, great. We're all on the same page. I'm so glad. Okay. So it's very simple. This is very simple. You stick with me. Okay. We only build what we see in heaven. Okay? Simple, right? So we only build. So how do we know what is in heaven? Okay? Prayer. Okay? We need to learn to listen to God's voice. The what we do over here and how we build on earth is determined by what is built in heaven. And we know what is built in heaven by spending time with God in prayer and learning to hear his voice. Okay, so we're going to get into groups now. This is the discussion, the group discussion. So I want you to turn into groups of, say, 4 or 5. And I want you to discuss, how do we hear the voice of God? You guys with me? Okay, let's go. You guys got 5 minutes. We're going to get some feedback, so nominate a spokesperson for your group. 4 or 5. Okay. So, let's start at the back. Let's start at the back there. Yaku, who's your group's spokesperson? Bernard. Bernard. Give us a few pointers. How does one hear the voice of God? Shh, let's listen to him.
First of all, I would say practice it in prayer. By asking God, well, the one thing that I've done a few times with people who struggle to hear God's voice is to suggest, ask Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit the exact same question. That way you learn to understand all three voices. For instance, Father God, what do you think of me? Jesus, what do you think of me? Holy Spirit, what do you think of me? They're always in line. However, you get a different viewpoint because of the three different entities in the Godhead. Other ways would be when you're sitting with the situation, even at work, you can pray, okay, God, I'm struggling with this situation. How do I deal with this? And he, in that way, would actually start, you would start understanding how he talks to you through that.
Awesome. Very practical. I like that. Anybody else?
Openness to hearing his voice. So we just trust that we can hear God and then and be open to receive what he tells us. And we also said, he also uses people to speak to us, so prophets and that, and confirmation from the word of God as well. So, yeah.
That's very important sometimes. People come and speak to you, or maybe you're thinking something, but God does not say anything contrary to his word. So always test things by the word of God. That's very important. Okay.
We spoke about that your relationship with God must be good. And to build your relationship with God, you must read the Bible more often. So, yeah, through the Bible, you can hear his voice. So, yeah.
Sure. That must have been a good one. Was a good one. Let's get somebody on this side over here.
I think sometimes hearing God's voice is also seeing stuff, so visions and dreams as well for us. And then obviously Johan also said through the Bible, and he doesn't necessarily have to repeat something he already said to you specifically if he already said it in the Bible. And then as well, practicing hearing God's voice, then it becomes easier. So yeah.
Yeah, I think the practicing thing is also very important. Okay, flex that muscle. Go to your spiritual gym, whatever you want to call it. Let's get this group over here. Who's this? Okay, thanks, Gabby. Because chivalry is
dead. So, excuse the voice. We said prophecies and words of knowledge, and then dreams and visions through the Bible, and then also that voice in your head. Sorry. When you're asking a question and you just get an immediate yes or a no, or you feel something in your heart just settling, or you just feel an answer, that's God's voice talking to you. And also to start discerning between those. Okay.
Also great. So I love how people, you know, take the bullet for each other.
We said that firstly you have to receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows the will of the Lord and the meaning of our hearts. And you cannot seek God if you do not have the Holy Spirit, because when we go in prayer, we ask the Holy Spirit that we come before the Father in the throne of grace with a humble and contrite spirit, in spirit and in truth. So you have to bide the time out. You have to be in your inner room where you yourself seek God's face in prayer. And then through the word you'll get answers, and when you get that word, people will come and confirm it for you. And that's how you will be guarded.
I like that. I think we got a you can give her a hand clap if you want. It's great. I think we got a very good, well-rounded answer. So we have some very practical tips at the back there. Bernard was talking about, you know, how the Trinity is one, so they don't contradict each other. And the word of God is inspired by God, does not contradict himself, okay? Does not contradict God. So there's a very important, we have practicing, we have asking the Holy Spirit to help us, and having the faith also that when we ask him to speak to us, that he's going to speak to us, amen? Because it is also a matter of faith. Keith, did you want to add something? Did you want to say something?
I had the privilege to teach 3- and 4-year-olds last year to hear God's voice, and the principle we started teaching them was to make time, quiet time. So we put up some worship music for them. So if you never had an encounter of hearing God's voice, this is a starting point. Put up some worship music, okay? Lie down with your eyes closed. Okay, and just focus on him and just relax and trust. Trust that you will hear him, his voice, because that's the starting point we teach them, and it was really amazing what the 3- and 4-year-olds came up with.
I think that's also something that was mentioned, is that we've got to make time for this. We've got to practice this. Okay, there was a guy who was talking about healing, and he was, and somebody came to him and said, you know, my mother was sick, and we prayed for healing, but now she's still sick. She's not getting healed, you know. So he said, okay, when did you start praying for healing? It's like, no, well, when my mother got sick. No, I mean, when did you start praying and moving in the gift of healing? So he said, no, when my mother got sick. So he's saying, do you only pray for healing when it affects you? Or is it something that you practice each and every day? We want to hear God's voice, but we don't want to practice. We want people to get healed, but we don't want to put our faith out for people to get healed. So we want all the goodies and none of the risk. You know what I mean? Okay? I can tell you, like, the amount of times that I've gone up front, I've tried to get a word for somebody, And, you know, most of the time it goes good. I remember this one time I was visiting the Shofar Church in Stellenbosch, and I love going up front and giving people words. And then remember I was praying for this guy who's a lot taller than me, so I was kind of like, hey, how's it going? And so I was like, yeah, I just feel like God's saying that he wants to restore your relationship with your father. And he's like, no, I've got a pretty good relationship with my dad. I'm like, oh, okay. you know, and it happens. You know, like sometimes I just don't get it right. You know, it's fantastic. And you go and you repent and ask, okay, why did I get it wrong? And God showed to me, no, I wanted to give a word because it made me feel good. I wasn't doing it to help that guy out. I did it for me, you know. And God was so, I said, oh, sorry, God, I'm so sorry about the pride. And you know what? You pick yourself up and you move on, okay? So, but there's a very important aspect that I want to talk about, and that is the still, quiet voice, okay? God says, be still and know that I am God. So we mentioned, you know, we hear his voice through his word, through people, through signs and wonders, through our thoughts sometimes. Be careful of your thoughts, though, okay? Only a mind subjected to the will of God and also confirmed by the word of God. Okay, but the most important one is that still small voice. There's a prophet of old in the book of Kings. He talks about how he went to the sea and he heard the roar of the oceans, but he couldn't hear God's voice there. And he went to the fire and the roar of the fire, and he couldn't hear the. And then he went to that still small quiet place, and that is where he heard the voice of God. Okay, I want you to write this verse down. 1 Kings 19 verse 12. When you do your quiet time tomorrow, go read this. Okay. And something that you're going to practice is being quiet. Okay? We live in a generation where there's a lot of noise. Okay, whether it's your cell phone, whether it's the music, you know, whether it's your parents, whether it's yourself, whether it's your own head, it's very difficult for people to sit still and be quiet, which is bad, because that is where the voice of God is, in those still, small, quiet places. Okay? So this is what you're going to practice during the week, is being quiet. Inner voice. Okay? Inside voices. Okay? Okay. Are you guys going to do this? Okay, but that's for this week. We're still here in the service. So we're going to get even more practical today, okay? Tracy gave a word at the prayer thing that she felt, okay, people are going to have to be humble and let go. And this is that time where we're going to be humble and let go, because we're going to practice, okay, giving a prophetic message to somebody. You guys game for this? Okay, so you're going to have to hear from God. You're going to pair up with somebody, guys with guys, girls with girls. I'm watching you, guys. Okay? And this is not the time where you try and guess the girl's number. Okay? Oh, shucks. If you get it right, then we'll marry you on the spot. So that's a warning. Okay. So you're going to pair up girls with girls, guys with guys, and you're going to be quiet. Okay, actually first start off, like the lady there at the back said, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Okay, have faith that he is going to help you. And then you're going to be quiet, okay? And you're going to trust and have faith that what you say to this person, even though you might look stupid, is what they need to hear. You're going to be that prophetic voice to that person. You are going to be that hope in a hopeless situation, okay? Who's feeling really nervous at this point? Great. Fantastic, okay? I don't want you to be freaked out. I don't want you to think, yes, these guys are weird and I know what I'm getting myself into, okay? You go as far as you're comfortable, okay? You go as far as your faith will allow you to, and that's fine. You know, if you don't get it right or if it seems a little weird to you, it's okay. But what I am asking you to do, okay, these scriptures that I've given you, and I think this is a fair request, is that you go read during this week, okay, the scriptures that I've given you, the words that I've given you, okay, because I think it is fair that you go to the Word of God and ask Him what I'm talking about. You get what I'm saying? So this is, I'm not trying to make this a message about what I'm saying. I think it's fair to ask, okay, this is a little weird. You go to the Word of God and ask Him what is going on here, okay? Okay, so pair up and let's get going. First, that's fine, not net. First, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Maybe it's a scripture, maybe you see a picture, maybe...